hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like.
X-Go, give it to you.
How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Biosonic sound experience. That's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
X-Go, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
If you were organizing the room vacation, where are you going? You're the party.
I mean, if we're doing a cruise, I mean,
what if everything's on the table?
Anything's on the table. I mean, we're playing in Brazil this year, so I mean, we could do a
Rio.
Trip. Yeah, just a little Rio trip out there.
I don't know how that would look.
Can we be honorary defensive linemen? I'd like to go to Rio.
That was the most low-key guy saying something he shouldn't have said that I can recall.
I didn't even realize it.
But
yeah.
We know the Eagles are playing in Brazil week one, Friday night. And I know that people are like, oh, Friday night. They can't play games on Friday night. Well, they can before Labor Day weekend. Or no, wait, I'm sorry. I already got that wrong. They can as long as it's not the second Friday in September. That's what it is. So when Labor Day weekend doesn't include the first Friday in September, they can play the following Friday and Saturday if they want. They can say to college football, watch this if they really want to on that Saturday. It's the second weekend in September, the second full weekend in September when it takes over. So Friday night, Eagles, we knew. Opponent, we didn't until yesterday. Thank you, Maurice Hurst. I have a feeling that somebody from 345 Park Avenue is going to call up Cleveland and say, what the hell? We wanted to, you know, make a big deal out of that at some point, and now we can't.
You know, I don't even think I caught it in real time there, because I honestly, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, Pete in the back, you know, Christian, whatever. I thought I had seen some pretty significant rumors, right? Well, at least that was out there, that people thought it was Cleveland, Philadelphia. So I thought that was already announced. And, you know, I'm too deep into draft and following everything that's going on free agency there to where I don't know if I ever really read up on it. So that would be a phenomenal matchup. I know we haven't talked about it. It's going to be awesome to see that in Brazil. But I didn't realize officially. So, yeah, Maurice Hurst, coaches in the building, no. He met up with the coaches. Coaches told him we're going to Brazil. They said, hey, can we meet you up here? Because Cleveland has that radio station in the facility, right, which is really rare. It's the only place in the NFL that has that. And he probably is fresh off the hot press, just figuring it out that he's going to Brazil. And I don't know, maybe nobody told him he couldn't tell, couldn't speak it. Either way, it's out there now, like you said.
It cat's out of the bag, Browns. Eagles that Friday night, the night after the Chiefs will host whoever they host to start the season. So we have another window of football. And I suspect that any time Labor Day lands in that spot where it's not the second Friday or Saturday in September, they're going to start taking advantage of that. I just think they're going to keep looking for more places to stuff pizza cheese into the crust. They're going to keep looking because every standalone window, it gets 20 million people. You carve a game out, you put it in prime time, it gets 20 million people. Why wouldn't they Why wouldn't they look for more places to do it until they have any evidence that they've oversaturated the market? And there's no evidence, Chris, that they're oversaturating the market. People want more standalone games. They want more standalone games on which to wager, especially in real time, as that technology becomes more specialized. And they already have specific gambling apps out there where you can follow in real time and bet in real time, even if the TV isn't showing it to you in real time. So, yeah, they want more standalone windows because they want more people gathered and congregated and betting on one game at a time instead of a cluster of games.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's awesome. The game's spreading like wildfire. I mean, it really is. It does feel like it's finally taking off internationally. So I think that's what's exciting. And then, of course, we know it's, you know, by far the most popular sport in this country. I mean, to the point really where, like, it's such a part of our culture. I feel like people feel more comfortable on a Friday night or a Thursday night with a football game on somewhere in the background, right? I mean, whatever it is, you know, mom and dad helping out kids with the homework, or mom, you know, my wife's in the kitchen cooking, watching a game, whatever. It's part of our culture. It's what we do. So, I'm all for the standalone games, and Brazil especially is one I cannot wait to check out. I think that is one that will get eyes on it purely just to see, whoa, I can't believe we're playing a game there in that stadium in that country. I didn't think we'd see the day to where you're going to have eyes turn that one on just to kind of see the event and the spectacle of all of it.
Not to go too far down that rabbit hole for now, but I envision a not-too-distant future where all the walls are broken down, where the NFL will play games on a Friday night on a regular basis. College football, they're going to have package on Fox where they're playing on Friday night. And
I mean, people
are still going to go to their high school games.
Yeah, that's right. If you got that in your thing, you got to go.
Right. You're going to stay home and you know what you'll do? You'll have it on your phone while you're at the high school game. You'll be watching the game and watching the game. You'll be watching a live game, and you'll be watching a game on your phone. That's how it's going to go.
Yeah.
The whole broadcast antitrust exemption, and I've written about this, and there are some scholarly articles out there, not mine because there's nothing scholarly about what I do, but there's a question as to whether the broadcast antitrust exemption even applies in this world of streaming. Mm. And the NFL may be at some point getting itself into a position where one of these disgruntled streaming companies sues for antitrust violation and tests the question of whether or not streaming is the same as broadcasting. But, you know, whether it is handled politically or in the courts or whatever, I can envision a time where the NFL finds a way to restack and reshuffle the deck in its favor so it can number one, stream at will and sell all games as one package instead of the individual teams competing, with the Cowboys getting huge money and other teams not, and also finding a way to get past this outdated Friday and Saturday night prohibition. And then we'll see the NFL squat on Friday. We'll see the NFL have a window on Saturday. Hey, college, you got the rest of the day. Play your games whenever you want. We're playing at 8:30. If you want to play a game at 8:30, that's on you. Maybe you want it to be a MAC game or some fringe game, but we're taking 8:30, just like they took Thursday night. Remember, Thursday night used to be a big, major college football game. That would be a big deal. West Virginia's hosting the Thursday night game on ESPN. That was a big deal. Now that Thursday night game is kind of a, who cares for college, because NFL squatted on it.
Definitely.
I just think it's a matter of time, Chris, before, because they want more windows. They want more windows. Friday night, and they're going to see huge numbers on that Friday night, and it's going to make them say, we want more. How about Saturday? Let's make it happen. So I don't know when, but this, you know, they want to get to $27 billion a year or $25 billion a year, whatever Roger Goodell's number is. It's $25 billion a year by 2027. And then they're going to want to get more. And then they're going to want to – everybody wants more and more and more. And there's still more room in the crust for cheese.
I'm all for more windows, more days, whatever. I don't know if I want Friday and Saturday NFL football. That'd be me where I would kind of, as a fan, yeah, just go, okay, hey, like Saturday, let's leave it to college football. We got a great thing going on in the formula in this country, and having that day to be for the universities, the kids that well, are getting paid now. Used to be, you know, amateur sports or whatever, but still, yeah, I do worry about oversaturation, and I don't want it to infringe on the college game. I think that's a big part of our culture, our society, the rivalries there. You know, making sure people are tuned in to Alabama LSU or Texas OU or whatever that way. So, again, the more windows, more games, more standalone games, Friday and Saturday, I'm not sure about that one. I'd have to think about that a little bit more. I do not want to infringe, especially on college football, and nor do I want to, you know, on high school football on a Friday night and disrupt communities that way. I think that's worth, you know, thinking about more deeply about, at least in my view.
Oh, and by the way, since we're in the neighborhood of talking about the NFL's insatiable desire for more, remember when we were talking to Browns GM Andrew Berry at the Scouting Combine 3 weeks ago today, and he talked about their proposal for moving the trade deadline, and their proposal entails a two-week delay, one to account for the fact that the season has moved to 17 games, and another in anticipation of an expansion of the season to 18 games. And that got me to talking to some other people who were there in and around the combine, people from other teams. It's like, oh, yeah, that's a no-brainer. It's just a matter of time before it's 18.
That's right.
So NFLPA President Jalen Reeves-Maben, linebacker of the Lions, who was just elected a week or so ago to take over for J.C. Treader as the head of the union, at least the president. There's still a separate executive director. He was asked about it recently by Dave Brickett at the Detroit Free Press, and he didn't say, no. We're never doing 18 games. 17 is it, and we shouldn't even do 17. We should still do 16. There's no way in hell we're doing 18 games. The human body can't do 18 games. The players don't want it. Remember when we expanded to 17 games, they barely passed the CBA. The vote barely made it because guys didn't want 17 games. We're not doing 18 games. He didn't say any of that. He said, when that time comes, we'll address that. And he also said there's a lot to be gained, meaning if they want to go to 18 games, we'll see if they make it worth our while. And the other reality is, Chris, if the owners decide we want this badly enough that we'll lock you out, they'll win. You know, for as imbalanced as it currently seems, and it's really not all that imbalanced because the players get half the revenue, but still, there is an imbalance because the owners, when they really want something, are willing to shut the sport down for a year, and the players aren't. Because the owners have... You know, they talk about the war chest for a strike. The owners are—they're a walking, talking war chest. They got ships as big as war boats, for crying out loud. They don't need the money that comes from one season of NFL football. They'll be fine. The players, on the other hand, need that, and they have a limited number of years where they can play. You take away a year for every player in the NFL, that is a huge hit to their overall financial well-being. So the owners will do it, the players won't. So if the owners want 18, bad enough to say, we'll shut it down for a year, the players are going to scramble and they're going to take 18. And maybe they'll do 18 with maximum number of games any one player can play is 17. They've talked about that in the past, 18 and 16. Maybe they'll do 18 and 17 and say everybody except maybe quarterbacks and kickers and punters is limited to 17 games because, look, most guys miss a game anyway due to injury. So I don't know how many situations are being where there's this dilemma. Oh, when do I?
I mean, come on. We're gonna play 17 games, and now we're gonna act like we care about you and make you not play one game. Oh, okay. Well, I mean, come on. Yeah. You know, get out of here.
They're gonna get to 18, and I think eventually, and I may not be alive for this, eventually they're gonna go to 20, and they're just not gonna have a preseason. Eventually, they're just gonna play 20 games. They're gonna realize how much money can be made, and it's gonna be up to the players to get through it. It's gonna be up to the teams to figure out how to manage the reps and keep guys healthy. But we saw it this year. With the quarterbacks, guys get injured, next man up, train keeps moving, money keeps flowing, people keep watching. You know, the whole idea for protecting quarterbacks is, oh, if we don't have all the big name quarterbacks, nobody's going to watch. Nope, they're still going to watch. Doesn't matter. They're still going to watch. We're still going to tune in.
But we're still thinking about changing the rules. If you can't, you know, going to let the quarterback ground in the pocket and all that. I don't know. It comes out of both sides of their mouth sometimes. But I do agree with you. Right. It's inevitable. Inevitable with 18 games, right? And the players have seemed to have softened to it. I mean, remember early days of this when I was on the show with you? Remember my dad talked about it because he knew, like you did, talking to people in the league office. Remember, he kind of said something on social media, like it's only a matter of time, and he got all this pushback from players, like, whoa, it's crazy, it's crazy. Nobody's saying it's crazy now. You know, the like you said, the owners kind of, you know, made it worthwhile. The players aren't going to strike. They don't have enough leverage on that side. And, you know, kind of society beat it into the players' brains that, hey, it's okay. So now they're kind of numb to it to go, well, another game, okay, no big deal. And, you know, I know the owners will try to do right by the players and of course, increase the money in the pot and all that, but totally with you. 18 weeks is, you know, right around the corner. I would be shocked if it didn't happen within the next 2 to 3 years. That would be shocking to me, honestly.
First of all, the owners never try to do right by the players.
Well,
they're going to have to offer them something to get them to agree.
Right, make it seem right.
They're not going to do right by them.
No, that's when you say half and half. I go, yeah.
They're
going to
do right by themselves.
Right, I know. They got all these avenues, the franchise tag, this, that, you know, to cheat the players out of maximization of what they can make, too. So that's where, yeah, there's a lot of things that go into that conversation. We could probably devote a whole show on just stuff like that.
This has been a long-term obsession for the league, spearheaded by Commissioner Roger Goodell. He started attacking the quality of preseason games 12, 13 years ago, before the 2011 lockout. I think they wanted to come out of that with an enhanced and expanded regular season. The problem was 2011 happened right at the front end of this new epiphany about player health and safety, and they were completely unable to reconcile the And 2011 was the year that all the concussion lawsuits hit the fan. How do we play more games at a time when we're trying to convince everybody we care about player health and safety? We're going to have to table this. So they did until the next CBA. They tabled it. They pushed for it. They got it. And now there is a sense that it's just a matter of time, that it's inevitable. And the question is, Chris, do they wait until the current CBA expires? Because that's when you can use the lockout leverage
right.
to get them to cry uncle. Or, you know, you can reach any agreement anytime you want. Just because there's a CBA that's in place for another 7-8 years, they still can at any time tear it up. They did for COVID. They had a fresh CBA and they basically rewrote it to cover the COVID situation and the money that was lost from that. They could at any point, they could say, we're going to 18 and here's what the players get in return. Maybe we get all grass fields in return for 18, although I don't think they're willing to go that far. I don't think they want 18 games, but they'll get 18 games without having to give the players the grass fields that they want in every NFL stadium.
That would be the first thing I'd like, you know, again, yeah, we'll play 18 games, but we don't care about you that much. We're going to still let you bang your head and tear your ACLs on, you know, fake grass on the field. We care about you, but not that much. I mean, we want to have a Taylor Swift concert here next week. So, I mean, come on. Yeah, we need the fake stuff there. Yeah, but I think Jalen Reeves-Maybin, he did make a comment on that too, just saying he was hopeful that things are going in the right direction as far as grass fields. And listen, that would be the first thing I would ask for as far as the NFLPA president.
Gets back to what we already talked about, though. Are the players willing to strike for grass?
Yeah.
Are they willing to shut down the sport for a year to get grass? Because that's the only way they're going to do it. Because how are you going to get Jerry Jones to write the check necessary to have a pristine grass field in there every single week, right? Is he going to retrofit the stadium so it's got the big tray that goes outside and slides in? I don't even know how you would do that. Like in Minnesota.
You know what really is?
How would you carve a hole in US?
I don't care. Yeah. Get it done. The players are the most important thing in the sport. It's so ridiculous. It's on us. We have to start the movement for the players. Well, that's really the biggest thing. That it really is. It's on us. I mean, again, like you said, they're swimming in money as it is. They're making tons of money every year. And even in years where if they had a strike, their franchise would appreciate by $100 million, right? So I'm sick of it. It's just an easy fix.
Right. Well, here's the problem.
It's greedy.
Here's the problem.
Right.
Right. And we've been trying to shame them into it. We've been trying to call them out. When the commissioner tries to frame it as a debate between grass and turf among the players, that's baloney. There's no debate.
Yeah.
He wants there to be a debate. He wants it to be a both sides thing. He doesn't want people to realize they all want grass. They all prefer grass. And then they'll throw out these lies. Sorry, we're going to get in trouble now. They'll throw out these statistics that have been manipulated in a way. You can find a statistic to support anything you want. Oh, the injury rate's no greater. It doesn't matter about the injury rate. What matters is how the human body feels after playing for 60 minutes of clock time on grass versus 60 minutes of clock time on turf. Your body feels different. It doesn't matter whether or not you've got a torn ACL or a broken foot. What matters is how do you feel getting out of bed? How does that cumulative wear and tear on your body after 17 or 18 games? What does that do to you when you're 60? What does that do to you when it is time to, if you play all the way until the Super Bowl, get ready for the next season and do it again and again and again? That's what it's about. But, you know, it becomes like a political campaign. The NFL, and again, I really don't need to have emails and phone calls and people from 345 complaining, but it's true. They package it however they want to support whatever they're trying to get. And the players, to the extent the players are pushing back, that's just another issue they have to navigate to get what they want. And what they want, Chris, is more for less. They want more for less, plain and simple. Yeah. We want more. We want to pay less. More profit, more boats, more money, more everything for us. And there's always going to be an endless supply of players who come and go. They get theirs. They should be more grateful. All that crap. But this is all the oligarchs, the American oligarchs who run the sport. They want more. And if they can, they want to pay less to get their more. Period. That's all it is.
Yep.
You strip down that wall, and that's the problem. You know, I resisted. When I was a kid, I resisted my dad telling me that wrestling was fake. When I got older, I resisted the idea that pro football is a business. I didn't want to think that. I want to think there's purity to it. I want to think it's a sport. I don't want to think it's about making money. I want to think it's about, you know, pursuing greatness or whatever. And they try to maintain that facade now. Football is family. No, football is business, but it's good for business to say football is family, period.
Well, I don't disagree. There is some family aspects of football, but yeah, it's not totally family. That's for sure. It's not. It's as cutthroat business as you're going to find in America.
The ball can't love you back. You can love the game, right. But the game can't love you back. That's the truth. Bo Scarborough said.
No, that's the truth. It is. It's brutal, but you will find some family aspects in the locker room with coaches, all that. But yeah, the rest of it, it's cutthroat as can be. All right, let's go. Let's get into the news.
It's not created by the owners. It's created by the circumstance.
Yeah,
it's created by the sport itself. But it's still, at the end of the day, it's a business. You'll find some family stuff in the locker room with the coaches and whatnot until it's time for a guy to be told on social media, thank you, or happy birthday, or whatever.
We're cutting
you. And then separately being told, pack your stuff and go. All right. Chase Young packing his stuff and going from the 49ers. You know, this is another time where they did this with Emmanuel Sanders. I feel like they did it with somebody else. They give up a draft pick. They add a guy. They get half a year out of him. And then he leaves.
Yeah.
In free agency.
Yeah.
They'll get some consideration on the back end depending upon their other activity in free agency. But Chase Young, drafted by Washington, rookie of the year, NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year in 2020, had that ACL tear in November of 21, has been trying to get his career back on track since then. One-year deal with the New Orleans Saints, reportedly worth $13 million fully guaranteed. Again, I'll believe that when I see the official numbers, but maybe it is. You know, somebody said that, oh boy, they really overpaid. It's like, is $13 million for an edge rusher really overpaying? It's less than half the market.
Yeah.
Maybe it's fair
right. For
Chase Young, who at one point was going to be the highest paid player at his position. It felt destined, $13 million, for him to get himself, you know, in a position to get more next year. $13 million seems like it's the right number.
Yeah, I think so, for where it is, right? I mean, I'm sure he was hopeful of more. I'm with you. I mean, by what we see with most contracts here, I mean, I doubt it's $13 million. I would think there's some things that make it that, or he has to play a certain percentage of time or whatever. But I think it's the right move for Chase Young right now, who's still trying to, you know, maybe get back to his total 100% self that we saw before when he won Rookie of the Year and had a healthy knee and hadn't had the torn ACL and all of that. The Super Bowl, hey, listen, he popped a lot in the Super Bowl. We know that. Might have been his best game of the year, right? Might have been his best game of his career in the last few years, really, honestly. But, you know, a move that was made by the 49ers, you know, because, hey, they were looking at it going, hey, we're in the Super Bowl conversation. Let's take a shot and see what we got. And we got all these extra compensatory picks anyways, so it doesn't hurt us quite the same way. They took a shot, tried to help him out. It was a great spot for Chase Young to be in to, you know, maximize his talent with that great defense and that other great defensive line. But at the same time, he didn't do enough to make people think, oh, wow, he's a top end of the market, you know, type of defensive pass rusher here. So, no, he still has to prove himself, and he does the next best thing. Takes a one-year deal, and he hopes he kicks some butt this year, and then he can get back to, you know, as you said, something close to the top of the market, hopefully, in his eyes, next year, and see where it goes from there. But, yeah, I don't think there was a huge market necessarily for Chase Young, especially for probably what he was asking early on in this process, and that's why he was still sitting there on the street at this point.
It's funny you mentioned his performance in the Super Bowl. I'll peel back the curtain a little bit, and Shireen won't mind this. She's the one who texted on the PFT writers thread
right.
that the Saints overpaid for Chase Young. And my response was, you know, I vaguely recall sitting in the press box at the Super Bowl and somebody who was sitting near me suggesting at one point that he could be the MVP of Super Bowl 58. And it was Shireen, because there was a weird time there where the 49ers were winning, and the Chiefs hadn't really blown it out.
Yeah.
And who's the MVP?
Nobody
right
had statistics
now?
That and, made and, sense except for maybe McCaffrey.
And Chase
right.
Young had been disruptive.
Yeah.
And yeah, Juwan Jennings at one point, Pete, his name was kind of like right. percolating because he threw a touchdown pass. Technically, it wasn't like he read the defense and fired a laser, just threw the ball back across to Christian McCaffrey, who did the rest. But McCaffrey had that fumble on the first drive. So does that disqualify him? And she mentioned Chase Young at one point. So maybe, you know, maybe Mickey Loomis, the GM of the Saints, looked at that game and said, you know, we get this guy healthy. We pair him up with Cam Jordan, who's getting up there, as we all are. We're all getting older every single day. We ain't getting younger. But they maybe can do something. And now that Kirk Cousins is in the division, we know what happens when the walls close in on Kirk. So these other teams in the division need to come up with a way to get the walls to close in on Kirk. That's the only way to slow him down.
Yeah, well, I mean, we know the Saints, not a ton of money to spend, like, in free agency, right? They've done some good things with their defense. Got Willie Gay at middle linebacker. He can fly around, athletic as hell, you know. But they had to be picky and choosy as far as what they did and how they spent their money. And, you know, they're in kind of a retool, you know, reconfigure the football team post Sean Payton era here. And, yeah, they're kind of slowly but surely turning out the old for the new along, you know, the roster on both sides of the ball. And, you know, you look at them defensively, you know, one, hey, I mean, Chase Young, we know, is a good player, right, but not a superstar. He's not that, and you know, the price tag says that, and if you look at the people being paid with what he's making right now, you know, it's good, solid players, but nobody in that superstar conversation. But the big thing is, I think he gets to play, right? Probably starts, I think, with that contract for sure, right? Part of the rotation, and I think when the Saints look at it, they're going, wait, you know, hey, Cam Jordan's getting up there in years, right? We're getting there with him. Peyton Turner, who they drafted in the first round, what was that, 3 years ago out of Houston, he's been hurt, hasn't been able to maybe contribute to the team, you know, in the capacity they would like to this point, right? So they need some proven, wait, this guy can play commodities. They got Carl Granderson, who, you know, might be their best pass rusher right now as we sit there, and now they got Chase Young. So they got a little something working as far as depth and versatility, right? If you got those four guys there at the defensive end, and, of course, there's some talent there to go along to it, and they're hoping Chase Young can be a young talent that can be infused into that front four.
The additions for the 2024 New Orleans Saints also include quarterback Nathan Peterman, proving yet again that there aren't enough good quarterbacks to go around. In fact, there aren't enough bad quarterbacks to go around. All apologies to Nathan Peterman, who was, remember, John Gruden was working at ESPN at the time, and he loved him some Nathan Peterman.
Yeah, I hear you.
17 draft.
Yeah.
He was all over Nathan Peterman.
I liked him too.
And there's been that Gruden kind of sprinkling, you know, with Derek Carr, and he was a consultant last year, and there was some chatter he was going to be the offensive coordinator. That didn't work. I don't know if you saw it. He's an advisor to
in Italy.
An Italian.
I should call him and tell him to get his ass back over here. Get on the rowboat like he did to me. Get your butt over here. Start canoeing over.
Yeah, the problem is nobody wants him over here anymore. They don't want him here no more.
I guess
you're
right.
He got to leave the country to get a football job. And I can appreciate the fact that he loves it so much that he would humble himself to take this job as an advisor to a European League football team in Milan. That he just wants a coach. He wants to coach football, and he's been trying his damnedest the past few years to get back in, although many would say accurately it's his own damn fault that he is out. Anyway, Nathan Peterman is in. Backup quarterbacks continue to have a market, and that leads us to Kenny Pickett. We talked a lot about Kenny Pickett yesterday, and apparently some people, I don't know, they thought it was, I don't know if it's necessarily noteworthy or controversial to suggest that Kenny Pickett was acting entitled. I mean, he started 24 games. He threw 13 touchdown passes. He threw 13 interceptions. And the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reported that he didn't like how he was treated late last year. And he didn't like the fact that they brought in Russell Wilson. Well, you're not Terry Bradshaw. You're not Ben Roethlisberger, Kenny. You're not going to get special treatment. This is the NFL. This isn't high school. There's no birthright. There's no entitlement. You get what you earn. And if you don't earn, you get gone. And he's gone to Philadelphia. Here he is. Yesterday, meeting with reporters, talking about the reports regarding his communications with the Pittsburgh Steelers after they decided to sign Russell Wilson.
It is what it is. It was behind closed doors. You know, I'm confident in the way that I handled it. I handled it the way I should have handled it. You know, I'm excited to be here. It worked out so well that Philly was the place I ended up landing in. So I think everything happens for a reason. And, you know, I'm right where I'm supposed to be.
Hey, Kenny, there were some reports that you refused to be an emergency quarterback toward the end of the year last season. Can you tell us what happened there?
Yeah, I think that goes back to a lot of the communication behind closed doors that, you know, didn't go the way that I feel like they went. I was getting released. You know, there was a plan there for that game. It went down exactly the way it was planned to go down that entire week. You know, I was coming off the ankle surgery, so it is what it is. And, you know, like I've been saying, though, very happy to be here.
I think that was the week that they like took, it was a road game like in Seattle or somewhere, right?
I think it was
and
Seattle.
And they took him on the trip.
Yeah.
They took him on the trip. He was there. If he's not playing, you leave him home.
I think there was hope that he was going to be okay and be able to do it. But the plan was not to do it. But I think things were ahead of schedule. And it was like, well, he might be able to actually dress this week. That's kind of how I understood the situation back in the late season. That's kind of how I understood it, right? And that's where the miscommunication whatever went down. Sorry, Mike, go ahead.
No, it's all right. Even though he's been so tied to Pittsburgh, he went to college at Pitt, if you didn't know that. He was drafted by the Steelers. They cited the fact that they've gotten to know him very well. As we said yesterday, maybe they didn't know him well enough.
Right.
He's actually from New Jersey, and he grew up an Eagles fan, so this is great for him.
He's got issues. He's from Jersey. He's an Eagles fan. Yeah. There's something wrong in his brain. I don't know. Yeah. No, I'm just joking.
But he's clearly the backup now. I mean, to the extent there was any sliver of an opportunity to compete with Russell Wilson, and apparently there wasn't, because he's clearly the backup now to Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia. He's only going to play if Jalen Hurts gets injured and can't play. Last year he was injured and kept playing. The year before he was injured and he missed a couple of games, and Gardner Minshew did. But Kenny Pickett's only going to see the field if Jalen Hurts can't go. But he's happy to be with the Philadelphia Eagles now. And, you know, we see where it goes for him. He had another interesting point. And this comes at a time when you've got plenty of teams frothing at the mouth for the opportunity to draft new quarterbacks. Because, you know, that's the thing. We get to this stage of the calendar, and those draft picks are all gold. They're all potential Hall of Famers. They're all, you know, you're one pick away from cementing your legacy, from ensuring employment years into the future, like Brett Veach has by drafting Patrick Mahomes back in 2017 when he was the impetus. Before he was even the GM, he was the one who put Mahomes on Andy Reid's radar screen, and Veach is never going to be fired by the Kansas City Chiefs after that one. So they all like get caught up in what can be.
Yeah.
But then once they
legacy defining picks.
Once they scratch it off, Right. Once you scratch it off and it's not a winner, you throw it out.
Right.
That's the point that Kenny Pickett made yesterday. Here he is talking about how teams are giving up on quarterbacks pretty damn early into their careers.
When everyone wants to win now, it's an extremely competitive league. I think every franchise, every organization handles it differently. I don't think there's any right or wrong way. It's just kind of how the business has, you know, transpired over these past couple of years. But, you know, I think as young players, I think everyone understands what you're getting yourself into when you make it to this level.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like.
X-Go, give it to you.
How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Biosonic sound experience.
Acura wins Daytona.
And that, that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
Let's go, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Well, that's right. And if you don't get it done, you're going to be gone. They don't have patience. They don't exercise it. That's what made the Steelers move to move on from him, bring in Russell Wilson, bring in Justin Fields. We talked about it yesterday. It's out of character because the Steelers were the one team that seemed to be willing to exercise patience with a young quarterback because they did it back in the 70s and it worked and they won four Super Bowls with Terry Bradshaw, quarterback, and Art Rooney, who's running the team now, was alive and, you know, a kid and learning a lot about football in that window. Now, if you don't get it done, you're gone. The salary cap charge isn't significant because of the rookie wage
scale.
Teams can survive drafting a quarterback who doesn't get it done right away. We move on and we get somebody else. Look at this, Chris. Guys drafted 2021 or 2022, the 23 season stats with the passing yards, the guys in yellow were dumped by their teams after 2023, either by trade or they're all traded. I was going to say, or cut loose. They're all traded. They're all gone. They're all done.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's the current state of the NFL. It's what have you done for me lately, right? What are you doing there? You know, I told you yesterday, hey, listen, the things I knew about Pittsburgh is I knew there was a calling for Mason Rudolph there during the season, and I know that Kenny Pickett wasn't happy with the Russell Wilson thing, right? And I mean, obviously, he confirmed that for us and all that as well. And then, you know, knowing Pittsburgh a little bit, to your point, Pittsburgh's a little bit like, what? He thinks he's just going to get the red carpet because we drafted him in the 20th pick? Like, is he a superstar? Are we missing something? Oh, you don't want to be here and compete and have to deal with this? See ya. Get out of here, right? I mean, that's – Pittsburgh not going to deal with that. He's not good enough, to your point with your entitled yesterday, to where they're going to go, well, oh, we'll still try to make it work, right? That teams don't want to give up on quarterbacks quicker than ever. Teams are just giving up on quarterbacks that they look at and they go, wait. He's not our answer, and there's nothing special here for us to wait to hold on to, right? Zach Wilson lasted two more years in New York than Kenny Pickett. Why? Because they kept going, well, damn, I mean, his arm is like elite. It's special. Let's kind of give it a chance. Let's give it a chance. Let's give it a chance. I know it hasn't been good, but this one part is special. As we talked about last week and yesterday, Kenny Pickett has none of that. There's nothing that nobody walks on a practice field and goes, oh my gosh, I didn't realize Kenny Pickett was this or that, right? So that is the where we're seeing, I think, organizations be a little less impatient with. Once they realize, wait, he's not what we wanted or thought he was going to be, rip the Band-Aid, move on, see you later. And I think that's the current status we're kind of in the NFL. And, you know, for Kenny Pickett, good for him to find a new spot. It felt like it needed to part ways. It obviously wasn't going to work. We know Russell Wilson was going to be the starter and all that. So, you know, hopefully he can get a fresh outlook on football again there in Philadelphia.
Zach Wilson was one of the guys on that graphic we showed whose name was not turned to yellow to mean he's gone, but they're trying to move him. This year they can't. I don't know that they would have found somebody last year, but they owe him over $5 million fully guaranteed. And I think there was a hesitation after the 2022 season because at one point Jay Glazer reported it was on a Sunday.
Right.
After the Thursday night debacle against the Jaguars in the rain on Amazon when they brought in the guy who played in Canada who actually did well, whose name escapes me.
Streveler. Streveler.
You know what I'm talking about. Streveler. Chris Streveler. Thank you. Chris Streveler. Thank you very much. After that, when Glazer said they're done with him, that's it, it's over, something changed. And I think it's as simple as, you know, some teams don't want the guy that they made a mistake on to get his wake-up call by getting cut or traded, and then he becomes the guy somewhere else he never was here.
He was scary that way.
Makes us look even worse.
Right, right.
Makes us look even worse because he's got the skills. He's got the potential. And even now, we don't know where he's going to go. He'd been linked to the 49ers. We're going to talk about what they've done at the quarterback position coming up. But that hasn't happened. I don't know where Zach Wilson is going to end up. I still think the best place for him is Kansas City. I still think the best guy he could learn from, if he's ever going to hit a hard reset button, is to just hang around Patrick Mahomes and just kind of learn from him and not play for a year or two. Now, this is the last year of his contract, but go somewhere where you can learn and soak it up what Andy Reid does, what that team does, what Patrick Mahomes does. If there's any hope for Zach Wilson to turn it around ever, I think it's to spend a year just watching and listening and monitoring everything that Patrick Mahomes does.
Yeah, he needs to get in a spot like that. I don't disagree with you there. You know, it's not about being a backup or doing anything. Nobody's going to make him the backup. He needs to go to a team where he can be a comfortable third stringer, right? Learn from people that have a lot to give in knowledge as far as whether it be quarterbacks, coaches, whatever. But just be able to learn from them and not have the pressure of, oh, you might have to play or do that. And, of course, last year's circumstances were crazy. I mean, they were crazy. I mean, again, they didn't want him to play. They weren't expecting that, especially early in the year. And then they not only have to play him and, oh, no, we have to change our offense and all that. The offense starts to fall apart and they're falling like flies and getting hurt and all that. But, yeah, a 49ers, a Kansas City, right, somewhere like that would be great for him to hit the reset button and see where it goes. And that's what's happening with Kenny Pickett in Philadelphia, like you said. You know, I think he's the perfect backup for there. If Hurts goes down, right, we're not going to go, oh, no, the Eagles are done, like they're in deep trouble, right? He'll be able to run the offense. He's a pretty good athlete. Of course, the support system around him will be special. You know, that's good. And then he's not so talented as the conversation we had yesterday that he's going to be a threat to Jalen Hurts. That's the other thing, too. You know, that's where the Justin Fields thing, I think, becomes a threat to Jalen Hurts and could maybe boil into something annoying in our locker room. And our locker room was a big talking point last year. So that's where Kenny Pickett fills the void, I think, in two different areas there. And, you know, good for him. And we'll root for him there in Philadelphia to get his career straight.
Okay, let's play a little backup quarterback.
Ooh.
True or false. And backup quarterbacks proved their value last year.
Yeah.
Every team needs three. Some teams started five last year. The Vikings started five. The Browns started five. We'll start with the Browns. True or false, the Browns will keep four quarterbacks on their 53-man roster. They currently have Deshaun Watson, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, who was drafted last year and got a start or two. Got injured after his second start, which was a lot better than his first start. Added Jameis Winston in free agency. Most recently added Tyler Huntley, a Pro Bowler, somehow, in 2022. Usually that fourth quarterback is like an undrafted rookie camp arm who's destined to go. These are four recognizable names in quarterback circles. True or false, they're going to have four guys on the 53-man roster when week one rolls around.
First thing I want to do is this, like, why is Tyler Huntley having a hard time finding a backup deal? Like, I mean, we talk about
no
it,
idea.
I don't understand it. We've seen the guy play in real games and do well and keep Baltimore in the playoff mix. I don't really understand that one. That one to me is weird. Good athlete, throws the ball well, and we've seen him run an offense, but he can't find a backup quarterback job? That to me is weird. But I'm going to say false with this one. That no, there will not be four quarterbacks on the final roster. Absolutely not. Now, at some point there, I mean, someone gets released or another team in training camp realizes, wow, we need a third. You know, how about trading us Tyler Huntley or something like that, right? That's where I see that going. It's honestly, when I saw that yesterday, I was like, wait, don't they already have three? They're going to get four quarterbacks, you know, that all got a little talent and got a little namesake in the NFL and all that. I thought that was odd to begin with. There's barely enough reps to go around for three, let alone four. But no way four is on the roster to start the year.
Not sure that's exactly the way to use namesake, but it sounds...
No, I think you're right. It was close enough. It wasn't the right way.
Yeah. So anyway... Here's the reality, because I think it is smart for the Browns to have that fourth guy, because you know what? Once we get to practices, once we get to preseason games, there's a chance that somebody else is going to end up needing a quarterback.
Right.
And so you get value there, and you stockpile a draft pick for next year. And I was talking to somebody yesterday about just this whole Justin Fields situation, why the Bears did what they did when they did it, why they didn't play it out, why they didn't wait, why they didn't try to find a way to keep Fields around, because opportunities will arise later. Well, it was a real conversation. Yeah. It wasn't just me listening, because I eventually suggested, and of course, people with teams don't want to have this analogy tied to them because of the current sensitivities to gambling, even though the NFL loves gambling, except when it doesn't. I said it's kind of like, because the point is, once you're playing the games, you have a different attitude toward your draft picks than you do before the draft.
Yeah, that's right.
Before the draft, you view those draft picks as much more sacred currency. Once you're into football season and you're like, well, you know what? We got a chance here. Let's give up a third-round pick for Chase Young.
Exactly.
Let's give up a second-round pick for Montez Sweat.
Right.
Let's give up what we need because we're trying to win. We're trying to win. And I said it's kind of like when you're in football season, you're at the casino. When you're in the off season, you're thinking about what you're going to do when you get to the casino. Your money has different value when you're not at the casino. When you get to the casino, it changes. It morphs into something else. It's a commodity that is part of your effort to win. The commodity is much more precious when you're home, when you're thinking about what you're going to do at the casino. So there's a change in the mindset when it's time to play games. And teams approach the value of their draft capital differently when it's time to play games. So if you're the Bears and you want a greater return for Justin Fields, you hold on to him, because at some point somebody's attitude about those draft picks is going to be different than it is a month before it's time to use them. It's harder to get value now than it is in August, September, October, up until the trade deadline, especially if it moves back a couple of weeks. That's just two more games on top of the eight already that a guy can get injured, and an opening emerges for an owner to say, we got to do what we can to be competitive. We got to stay competitive. We're having a good year. Go get Justin Fields. So that's the point. If they would have held him, they aren't going to get less than a six-round pick next year. They're likely going to get more, and they're potentially going to get a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't disagree with that. I think the thing is like we kind of talked about, is it worth the headaches, right, a little bit that you might have to deal with along the way, you know, having to constantly answer those questions, do that. And, you know, getting back to our, you know, jovial conversation about business and football as family, right, I do think, you know, some of these guys have a heart, and they wanted to do right by Justin Fields too. So they're okay. We're getting done a little worth here, right, to help the player out. But okay, this is probably best for us anyways too, to just not have to constantly talk about this, right? I mean, it's all over Bears radio last week. I see people on ESPN every sort. What's going on with Justin Fields? I don't even think they're going to draft a quarterback. Justin Fields is still there. All that. This changes it. Like, you know, like you talked about, you got to kind of set up, you know, the conversation for your fan base so they know what to expect. And I think they're kind of just setting it up that way to go like, hey, no, we're moving on. You guys know it, and you're hearing what's going on, and it's going to be Caleb Williams, and get ready for it and all of that. And I understand why they did what they did. But, yeah, your point is certainly just in that there's more value in holding on to him, that's for sure.
Well, it's going to be a quarterback. I'm still not entirely sure that Caleb Williams is fully committed to going to the Bears, but that remains to be determined. That's a topic another
conspiracy. C O N S P I R A C Y conspiracy.
It's not. It's Yeah, number one, well done for spelling it right. You would have made it to the
final
10 in
the first place.
I'm a good speller.
All right, I got it. That's what I'm good at.
And second of all, it's not a conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy. It's good business for the player to look at his options and maybe push back a little bit on this presumption that he's just going to happily go to the team that has the first overall pick. All right, true or false? Jimmy Garoppolo is a good fit to be the backup to Matthew Stafford with the Los Angeles Rams.
Yes, true. I go with that for sure. I mean, again, it's a team that's on the up and up. We know that. Yeah, they lost Aaron Donald, but damn, they exceeded expectations. We've seen them. They're turning the corner here, right? Their offense is pretty damn good. They got Carson Wentz there, right? He's still under contract, I believe, right? As we sit here right now.
No,
he's done so. So then, no, it's desperate there. And then they got to do that, right? But I was going to say, you're not going to trust Carson Wentz either way. You're not going to go, well, we feel good about that off the bat. Garoppolo's played a lot of good football. He's going to understand the system, right? You know, there's a Mike LaFleur there who was in San Francisco with him before that. So that makes a total, you know, a lot of sense. Again, a little like we talked about yesterday, protecting their investment in their football team looks like it's about to be good. So they don't want to fall off earth if Matthew Stafford misses a few games or does that, you know, like we saw them a few years ago without a good backup. And it was like, hey, we got to call anybody on the street that can help us right now. We can't get this going.
2 points. Number one,
yeah.
Stetson Bennett is under contract. The guy who won a national championship or two in Georgia was a fourth-round pick last year. And this is just a general bit of advice to all NFL executives out there. Be careful when you brag about, like, getting a guy, oh, we got him in round four. Like, everybody was surprised they got him in round four, and they talked up why they took him in round four. And look, it's a non-football thing. I don't think he's ever going to be.
What? No, most people would not have gotten drafted if it was anybody else with Stetson Bennett and the things that he's dealing with off the field. That was amazing in itself, that it just kind of got swept under the rug. Like, hey, he's got this crazy off-the-field problem, but he quarterbacked Georgia, so we're going to just take him, and nobody's going to talk about it, and it's just going to be so what? And that's weird in itself. I'm sorry. I just, you know, it's the elephant in the room with that subject, but it just gets swept under the rug because he's a quarterback, and he played for Georgia and won, and it's crazy, actually. Nobody with off-the-field issues that he had would have got drafted in the fourth round. That's the first thing that's insane. I'm sorry. I just had to say that.
Just to be clear, we don't know what the specific off-the-field issue is that has caused Stetson Bennett to be on the non-football injury list for an extended period of time for the Rams. We do know there was an incident when he was training in advance of the draft where there was a public intoxication citation. I don't know whatever happened with that. But, yeah, bottom line is Stetson Bennett is under contract. They thought he'd be the backup to Matthew Stafford. That's not going to happen, so they get Jimmy G. You've talked about this in the past, and I'm trying to remember which team this was.
Yeah.
You can't have a backup quarterback who is prone to injury.
Right. You've I was got talking with Teddy Bridgewater in Miami, right, those
yeah,
years.
Yeah, that's right. Right. That's right. That's what it was.
Right.
You've got to have a guy Taylor who can come in New York. And play that you right. can trust to stay healthy.
Right.
And we have one guy who you would call Mr. Glass, that's your term, backed up by another guy who is Mr. Glass.
Well,
I don't know that that's the best possible approach for the Rams.
I would hear you there. Well, this is where I would push back on that. Matthew Stafford's not Mr. Glass. Matthew Stafford's freaking Mr. Iron. I play through everything. Well, like,
right. He gets injured, though. He plays through it,
right,
but he gets injured.
Right.
He plays through it.
You know, he played through it. I know he missed games, you know, 2 years ago, and he missed a few games in Detroit towards the end there. But, I mean, it's remarkable he didn't miss more games. I mean, he got the shit kicked out of him for 10 years straight. He got to a Super Bowl team in the Rams, and they sucked at pass protecting. He still got his ass whooped, but made plays. But they were at least good enough to, like, oh, well, he got his ass whooped. Who cares? He got a 40-yard gain. Nobody matters. So that's where I would push back on that. But, no, people like Jimmy Garoppolo scare me to death as a backup quarterback for the reasons you said. No doubt about that. You know, it's yeah, he played, but damn, you know, he gets hurt almost, you know, every other play, it seems like there. And there is definitely risk in that for sure.
Garoppolo signed a 1-year deal. The terms have not yet been disclosed, which means there's nothing to brag about in the Jimmy Garoppolo contract. This is a guy who, for a while in 2018, for a little sliver of time at $27.5 million per year, was the highest paid quarterback in league history. Kirk Cousins and his $28 million per year deal in Minnesota eclipsed that. But for a week or two, Jimmy G was the champ. And now, and I respect it. I respect the hustle. This is the Joe Flacco approach. I'm not done playing. I love football. I'm still going to be part of the game, even if they're paying me not all that much. And it's not all that much, or we would know exactly what it is. So Jimmy G behind Matthew Stafford. The Rams have had five different backup quarterbacks start games the last two seasons. Brett Rippon, Carson Wentz, Baker Mayfield, John Wolford, Bryce Perkins. Now, this past year, it wasn't because Matthew Stafford was injured. They
Week 17, they played Carson Wentz because they were in the playoffs.
Meaningless.
So they missed.
Yeah, it was meaningless.
He missed one game this year, right? I think he missed one legitimately. Am I right about that? I feel like there was one game. He missed a game in Green Bay. They lost in Green Bay, right? Because they started Brett Rippon.
That was the game.
Yes.
That was the game Brett Rippon played, and they realized after that game, no, he's got to go.
We need a backup, right? We need a real backup, right? So, and then he sat out. Now, 2 years ago, yeah, he missed a few games, certainly. He got his, you know, he got killed behind that bad Rams team post-Super Bowl and all that. But, no, you know, the point's real, and that's where Jimmy's a little, he's played, but, yeah, he's a little fragile, too.
All right, last true or false topic.
Yeah.
Josh Dobbs is the favorite to be QB2 behind Brock Purdy in San Francisco over Brandon Allen.
I'm going to say false there. You know, I don't have any inside information here on this. Like, I know anytime the 49ers come up, people think I know, right? But I don't know. I know they like Brandon Allen a lot. I do know that, right? You know, I think he's a worthy number two quarterback. I, you know, and in a lot of ways, you know, we'll see. I think that's one that's going to be battled out a little bit. I think the field and practice will dictate that. But I think it's one where you go, hey, we got two guys that certainly can be the backup. And then whoever's not, we can feel really comfortable and go, man, we got a good quarterback room. We got three really good guys that we could trust and do all that. But I'm not going to say it's in the bag that Josh Dobbs is the backup. No.
Yeah, I agree with you. 2.25 million guaranteed on a 1 year deal for Josh Dobbs, which once again highlights the bargain the Steelers have gotten with Russell Wilson. Yeah, the very well-traveled Josh Dobbs, who was a chariot until he quickly became a pumpkin for the Vikings last year, is getting $2.25 million guaranteed on a one-year deal. The Steelers got Russell Wilson for $1.21 million on a one-year deal. Brandon Allen re-signed on a one-year veteran minimum deal. So if we are going to do apples-to-apples contract comparison, they value or they had to pay Josh Dobbs more than they're paying Brandon Allen to be on the depth chart, and we'll see. And you know, the broader point is, I think we are going to see more teams that instead of having two guys on the active roster and one guy on the depth chart who in theory on the practice squad, two on the active roster and one on the practice squad who in theory could be signed by any team at any time, I think you're going to see three guys on the active roster more often because last year that longstanding tendency of quarterbacks to stay healthy evaporated, and all of a sudden there was a widespread need for quarterbacks, and I think we're going to see that adjustment. And it may not be four, but I think you're going to see more teams with three.
Yeah.
For a long time, the trend has been a lot of teams go with two, not many go with three. I think it'd be foolish after last year. You get in trouble with your owner. Think about it. How do we not have three quarterbacks on the roster this year? And then you get a couple of guys injured, and you're scrounging around for anyone. Well, wait a minute. We saw what happened last year in the NFL. How were you not prepared for it this year? Last year, well, I understand it. This year, you got to be ready for it. And I think general managers are going to realize we got to spend that roster spot on a third string quarterback.
Yeah,
and
no.
I think the 49ers probably will keep all three of those guys.
Yeah, agreed with everything you said there. And I think the other thing that's going to change in the front office and people's minds too is that, hey, when we used to be like, oh, we get to the third string quarterback, it's over. We can't win. We can't do that. That's not the sentiment anymore in the NFL. It's no way. We can find a new way. You know, some of these backup quarterbacks and whatever, they might not be great, but they played a ton in college. They threw the ball 45 times a game in college, and they've got a little experience, at least in that manner, to run an offense. And I think that's where maybe expectations have changed, where coaches, owners, GMs are a little bit like, we should still be able to win with our third stringer. We got this guy and this guy. Let's see if our coach can keep us competitive. I think expectations changed there a little bit over the last year and a half or so.
At one point last year when the quarterbacks were dropping like proverbial or literal flies, I said, if I ever talk about expanding from 32 teams again, punch me in the face.
Okay.
But you know what? The TV numbers did well.
Right.
You can't reach me all the way. You got long arms, but you can't reach me from Connecticut right now. The TV numbers weren't affected by all the backup quarterbacks. And as you said, there's plenty of guys out there that can play. And I think the NFL, when they take a step back and look at this, they're going to be undeterred by increasing the inventory, whether it's increasing the games or increasing the teams or both. Let's take a break. When we return, hopefully the 49ers got the numbers right with Josh Dobbs and Brandon Allen and everybody else, because they made a little counting mistake in 2022 and they're going to pay for it in a different way in 2024 and 2025. We'll talk about that next on PFT Live.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like.
X-Go, give it to you.
How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. That's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
Let's go, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.